Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time now to get the bunting out, adorn the stadiums, because it is opening week. No need here. The ever dependable and really remarkable in terms of his analysis. That's why he's here every week. Neil Kulong, sir, my friend, welcome.
It is great to be here as always. I hope you guys are doing well out there, same way that I am.
So let's get to opening week. Steelers right out of the gate. Get a tough one out of the gate. But we don't know what the deal is with Nick Bosa. Your thoughts on the opener, especially with the incredible Brock Purdy running the show.
It's kind of funny. I was just talking with some colleagues about the Colorado TCU game. In my opinion, and I'm not a gambler, but I thought 20 points is a bit much for a completely different team playing in a new school. You don't have any idea who they are or what they're going to do. San Francisco, being a dominant personnel team, being a very well-coached team, is probably not going to play many games in which they have the better quarterback on the field. And that doesn't tend to bring you a whole lot of success, except Purdy is seemingly to be the exception to a pretty hard and fast rule over the course of the season. What that means to me, I think anyway, is it kind of resembles the Steelers last year. They had a very similar setup. They probably were not going to have the better of the two quarterbacks. They needed to win with what they had. They needed to be a true three-phase team. Add in the absence, the likely absence of Nick Bosa. I don't know how. He didn't go through camp at all. He hasn't practiced. There is still time, technically. If this was week eight, we wouldn't know at this point if he was going to play or not. I think heading into week one, it's fairly safe to say he's not going to play 90% of the snaps, just my guess, where we sit today. And it would be more likely that he won't play any. That's a significant loss. Again, very similarly to how we saw the Steelers operate without T.J. Watt. Things change. You have to make up for that, but that's still a pretty significant loss. Add in George Kittle to the mix, who might be the toughest matchup in the NFL for the position that he plays, for the type of all-around player that he is. It seems to me San Francisco at full strength is a better team than Pittsburgh is. I would have been okay with a 49ers by three spread, all things being equal. Without those guys, I don't know. I think Pittsburgh might have a stronger unit overall, but this game is so up in the air to me. I'm not sure. We don't know who they are without Bosa or Kittle on the field. We don't know where Purdy is. He was hurt most of the offseason. I don't think he exactly played like an all-pro last year. They set him up very well. Not trying to take away from it, but we'd argue for the next 10 segments on everything about Brock Purdy if we're going to suggest if we're going to try to figure out what his talent level really is. It's a really tough evaluation to make on the guy, except he works within a very good system for him, and he's made that work. I don't know if he can come into Pittsburgh against a kind of a retooled defense. They've got a lot more strength up front. They have a lot more talent. Their secondary, maybe, you know, we might see some lapses in there, but this is a team that's going to get after the quarterback pretty quickly. I don't know if Purdy is going to be able to handle that mentally. You know, physically anybody can get sacked and get hurt. I just mean that from a mental perspective, he's going to get, you know, crushed, I think, pretty quickly into this game. Is he able to protect the ball the way that he did? Are they going to be able to gain yards and establish possession of the football consistently if they're not completing passes down the field? I don't know. I see a low-scoring game. There's a lot to get into. This is a really good matchup, I think, for both teams who are kind of in a sense of flux right now. High expectations for both. they need to get off on the right foot and, you know, drive that through the season. I think they're going to both be very different teams come December, but the starting point is going to be critical for each of them.
I look at the two quarterbacks this way. I feel like Kenny Pickett is going to have to make some plays for the Steelers to win. I feel like Brock Purdy needs to stay away from the big mistake to allow the 49ers to win.
I could say, I think that's reasonable, and I think that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan has done with the 49ers when they've had Purdy in there. Let's be honest, it's not, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo did a decent job, but it's not like he was a great quarterback. It's not like that offense ever ran on the strength and the talent of the quarterback in and of himself. And I think you could make the argument now, Pittsburgh has gotten used to that over the last couple of years. They've been in the same spot. Ben Roethlisberger's last season was not great in many ways. It's clear that he was deficient, you know, not terrible. He had he'd always been a very strong, cerebral player. He's very smart. He knew what to do with the football. He took calculated risks when, you know, turnovers tended to happen. It was him being more aggressive than anything else. They couldn't get any of that with the quarterbacks that they've had since then. We've seen that time and time again. But they've managed to find a way to stay, you know, a slight chin above 500. So with that, they know how to win those close games. And we talked about that a bunch last year. This is a team that if it's close in the fourth quarter, their heart rate doesn't accelerate anymore. They know how to play this kind of football. This, you know, drag the opponent down to our level and make it this kind of nightmare-fueled, non-offensive game. Possess the ball. Don't give them the opportunity. Very old-school kind of mentality. San Francisco is largely predicated on scheme and, you know, a boatload of excellent individual talent. You know, to point out as well, I think I've shared this on this segment before, my opinion is Trent Williams might be the best offensive tackle to ever play the game.
Yeah.
The guy is absolutely perfect as a player. Yeah. He really doesn't do anything wrong. Can they utilize him in their ground game? That's a major advantage, whoever you're putting over there. Mix it up. If it's Marcus Golden, if it's Alex Highsmith, whatever, you're going to have a tough time getting around him. And they know how to use him schematically. They can still make big plays out of that. San Francisco doesn't have that sort of limitation, I don't think, with the Steelers' edge defenders. You know, they're going to have to, if it is Bosa or whoever, they're not strong enough, I don't think, at either tackle position to be able to hold San Francisco off in that type of a matchup. So for me, the Steelers have to make it ugly to beat a team like this. Where I'm sitting now, I feel like Pittsburgh 19-17 if they're going to win. It's going to be something like that. The Steelers have won a few in week one lately. I think they have one of the longer week one winning streaks in the NFL, but they haven't been pretty at all. They had no business winning that game against the Bengals last year. I don't expect it to be like that, but it's going to be a tough matchup, mostly in what the Steelers are going to have to do to overcome, I think, a talent deficiency against a very seasoned 49ers team, but the quarterback. And that's what makes this game so interesting to me.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting across the board, no question about it. In opening games in general, because of the way the preseason plays out, Neil, how long do you now feel it takes for us to see consistent tackling in the league? How many games does it take now?
That's a good question. I know this comes up a bit. My greatest vantage point for that is going to be the Steelers. And from what I've seen of them, they've definitely gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. But it really kind of seems like week one is a fourth or a fifth preseason game more than anything. Week two, they might rebound a little bit better. Typically, it's a home and away split between those two. By about week three or week four, you start to see more athleticism. Except if you look back in those games, they're racking up a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that really stood out to me in kind of digging into this. They get to the quarterback. So a lot of that, having T.J. Watt helps. Having T.J. Watt play against Cleveland helps. You know, you almost have to take him out of the equation because, I mean, there are games that they don't even know that he's on the field sometimes. It's crazy. But even with that, they're still getting sacks from a lot of guys. They have six in the game. You know, Watt has 1.5 of them. But as a unit, they're getting to the quarterback. They don't do much offensively. And maybe that's the trend around the league. Offense just the longer to warm up, to get used to what's going on. Maybe some of that, though, I mean, just for me, I should add this perspective. Everything starts in the trenches. You know, it's your offensive line versus your defensive line. Those are your pawns. That's how you set everything up. It seems like the defense has an easier time getting into the season than the offense does. And I feel like that has definitely been the case where it's not necessarily that the Steelers' defense is dominant, although they are outstanding. They seem to rack up a lot of sacks early from teams that don't look particularly aware offensively. So you put all that together. I couldn't give you a number. I just know that you analyze the first quarter of games, it tends to be very, very different than the second quarter of games in a season. And I wouldn't be surprised if that trend continues, because it seems like, not that they are doing less, it's that the contact isn't there in camp. They're not getting to that, you know, dirty, muck it up kind of level on a consistent basis. They're trying to replace preseason games with the inter-squad scrimmages that they do. But even that, it's not like they're running 80 plays or anything. You know, they might do 20 one-on-one. And so it's not – I don't think they're going into the season all that prepared. I also think that could be strategic as well. You know, playing well in December is a lot more important than playing well in September. I know that logically doesn't make a lot of sense, because four wins is four wins, but you're going to suffer adversity as the season goes on. So if you have overcome that and you're moving in a good direction in December, you're going to be playing much better heading into, theoretically, the playoffs. And I think teams are kind of pacing themselves more for a middle distance as opposed to the common thought, which is everything is a sprint.
Obviously, the Steelers and 49ers are a primary focus, but is there another game on the opening weekend that has caught your interest that you say, you know what, I really need to tune into that?
For me, it's I want to watch the Chiefs. I'm curious to see what they're going to do, just because they're always the most schematically interesting team to me. Defensively, I want to see what DeMeco Ryans does with Houston. I'm not sure how good of a team Houston's really going to be, but I think he's a genius. I love the way he operates. I love what he brings to the defensive side of the game. He's fun to watch. You know, I loved watching him in San Francisco, so I'm curious from that what they can do against Baltimore, a team that has a new offensive coordinator. What are they going to be like? We saw how bad Joe Burrow was when he missed a significant portion of camp with probably a more debilitating injury last year. Is Cincinnati going to be able to start off pretty good? I don't know. I mean, in a lot of ways, that's sort of the race in the AFC. You know, I think there are the obvious favorites. I mean, you know, Buffalo is always a fun team to watch. You enjoy anything that they're doing. And 1 week isn't going to decide everything, but you can get a good sense of who a team is and what they tried to build themselves to be. How about that? Buffalo, Stephon Diggs, if he gets 8 targets, is he going to go absolutely crazy? Because I feel like we're not going to get long into the season before that comes up. You know, literally the same thing he did in Minnesota. I'm curious how long that's going to last. Bryce Young and Frank Reich, what's that going to look like in Carolina? Taking on Atlanta, another team that I think Arthur Smith is a phenomenal coach. They play offensive football in a much different way than everybody else does.
Yeah.
I'm curious if Bijan Robinson is the type of guy that can take well to what they're doing. How will Desmond Ridder fare within that structure? The fact they didn't make him a captain is interesting to me. I'm a total dork, though. I'm not typical of the market. I'm going to watch every game, so days get a lot longer for me this time of year, and there are a lot of things that really interest me about the league as a whole. And, you know, for me, the Steelers are the team that I've watched and I know the most about and the most interested in. But there are a lot of games that I really want to watch at various points this weekend.
My friend, it is finally here. So now we get to actually start talking about and analyzing games on a week-by-week basis. That's the exciting part, but always great to have you on the show, no matter whether they're playing games or not. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.